Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone, welcome to another week of G-Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss, and today's guest is a voice you probably recognize, Kate Spencer, co-host of Forever 35, technically my boss. Kate, would you call me your boss? Kind of.
No.
I wouldn't either, but I kind of like it.
Partner.
Partner.
Partner, like creative partners.
Creative partners. Yeah, like business partners, like just women in business.
Yeah, ally.
Women supporting somebody. Women. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I like that. Kate,
those
welcome.
Those are words I like.
Yes.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back.
It's so nice to have you. I was trying to think the last time was just very beginning of this.
Yes. And you know what's comical is that I like trotted in to do this recording with I had talked about my water bottle when I was on your show.
That's right.
When you first started, and I trotted into my closet, which is where I record, with my newer, bigger water bottle, which I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but it's like a 50 ounce jug that I'm obsessed with.
That water bottle is everywhere. And that water
it's
bottle
different than the, it's different than the like viral water bottle.
It is?
Yes, it doesn't have the like
did you
I've
see that dramatic
water bottle.
Sip? That dramatic. I have water with me, by the way. I'm letting you know this is probably my third glass since we last spoke about water. Wait, how is I thought it was the same.
Day.
Does it say like you go girl on it or is it not as
no,
like
so
hype?
I tried though that one of those and the water just gets warm and plastic tasting because like if you fill a water bottle with 70 ounces of water,
mm-hmm.
it's going to eventually assimilate to room temperature because you're not drinking it fast enough. So I bought an insulated 50 ounce jug.
Oh, wow.
With a handle. So it keeps stuff cold and I don't need a pep talk on my water bottle. I've got this.
No, I mean, you are giving the pep talks. You should be writing pep talk copy for water bottles. Honestly,
you know what? Forget working on podcasts.
Right.
Forget writing books. It's all about motivational water bottles for me.
Lost revenue stream. Exactly. Lost revenue stream for you. Well, I'm happy to have you here. I'm drinking a little bit more water, like really trying. I find myself like craving it more, which is kind of a nice feeling. I think because it's getting hotter out and now with the dog, I'm outside a lot more than I think I was before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it just water really does the trick. So I'm not all in, but you know, I'm dabbling in the water world.
You've got a toe in the water.
Yeah.
You're dipping your toe in.
I'm dipping my toe and my face in sometimes when I'm thirsty.
Well, I'm proud. I'm proud of
thank
you.
Thank you so much. I could not have done it without you. And it's just, you know, one day I will be fully hydrated and it'll be great. I'm psyched to have you. I actually just recommended your book to somebody who is going through their first Mother's Day without their mother this year.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry that you know someone who's going through that. But thank you for recommending my book because I talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just seems really hard. My advice was just like, you know, it's a fake holiday. Ignore it. And, you know, because I think it's going to be hard. But it's like you have to basically just like not do anything. Like you can't like be online. And it's just everywhere.
It's so hard to ignore, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day. If for whatever reason, you know, those holidays are, you know, traumatic to experience, which they are for a lot of people. You know, mm-hmm. My mom died and I wrote a whole book about it. So that's my thing. But like, there are people with estranged parents, you know, people who have lost children, trying to conceive. I mean, it's just the list is endless. And like, yes, you're right. You have to essentially like lock yourself in a little cave because the emails are relentless. The commercials, you go outside, even in COVID, you know what? Restaurants are open outside right now. Mm-hmm. People are brunching with their moms. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just feels like it's everywhere. And so you know, I know well, this will probably, this is going to go out tomorrow, right? Tonight?
It'll be tomorrow before. We're recording this on Thursday. The show, as you guys are listening to it, is now Friday. Just so Mother's Day is in 2 days.
Yeah. So this will air before Mother's Day. So just want to say, like, solidarity to everyone who's struggling.
It's
I get
hard.
It. It sucks. I mean, it is really hard.
It's hard. Like it's just, it feels like it excludes more people than it includes.
Well, you know, I appreciate you saying that because I do feel like in the last few years, the conversation has evolved around these two holidays mm-hmm. to really acknowledge the fact that, like, for many people, yeah. let's say like at least half, they're kind of traumatic or like at least a little triggering of, like, you know, some intense emotions.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know, like, I don't know what kind of movement would ever work to get rid of them, but
right.
Especially because, like, so many companies rely on them to sell product. Right. So I don't know, Caroline.
I know.
What is the solution?
There is no solution. I mean, it's like we talked about it a little bit on G-Thanks, which is like, why don't we just take this opportunity to make a nice list of all of the things that are going to be on sale that are, like, geared towards, like, women. And I say that in quotes.
Yes.
Because, you know what? Like, fine. Take, you know, if these companies are going to make us all feel bad, let's not buy their products at full price. But yeah, no, it's difficult. And yeah, your book was the first on the list of books I recommended. And if you guys haven't read Aww. The Dead Moms Club, obviously it's a great, great read. If not, a read that will make you cry. How are you doing?
Just what
Kate?
I want.
How are you doing? What do you usually do for Mother's Day as a mother?
That's a great question. I like to be left alone. So
I feel like every mom says that.
Yeah. I'm like, I want to leave. Like, what have I done for Mother's Day? You know, like, I like a spa.
Yeah.
I like just, like, to shut the bedroom door and let everybody, like, just not bother me for the day. I mean, it's also lovely to, like, just spend time with my family or go to the beach. Mm-hmm. This Mother's Day, I'm actually flying to Seattle to see my dad and my stepmom for the first time.
Oh my gosh.
Since pre-COVID, and my brother and his wife and their 1-year-old. So it'll be her second Mother's Day. So I'm excited to celebrate my sister-in-law this year.
So
you know, like,
nice.
Now my kids are 10 and 8. So I'm kind of like, you know, I've done it. I don't need it to
right.
be about me.
Now you get some coupons for some, like, back rubs or whatever.
Oh, yes. I've already spotted one of my presents. It's like a tiny little milk bottle that's been painted. It's really sweet.
That's
like,
so cute.
I love that. That is a really nice. It's very nice now that Mother's Day is pleasant for me and not just like me missing my mom and, like, angry at the world. So I'm grateful for that.
Well, I'm glad for you on that. And I do hope all the moms out there get a day without their kids. It's very funny that all moms, like, want that. All moms are like, I just don't want to see my children for 24 hours. I'm like, okay, cool. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, like, that's the day.
Yeah. Like, please, please. I feel like hotels should offer some sort of, like, especially right now, some sort of, like, Mother's Day special where it's like, I don't know.
You know, yes, I am amazed at how many women I know just, like, go away for the night for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
That is their thing. And I don't know as many, like, fathers who do that. Maybe, you know what? Because the patriarchy serves them.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. I think they get lots of nights
mm-hmm.
away, I'm
mm-hmm.
sure.
Every day is Father's Day in this
Every
country.
Every day is Father's Day. All right. Well, Kate, let's get into it. We're going to do, like, a very kind of quick episode, I think, which will be an interesting experiment, because usually, like, what went from, like, this podcast is going to be, like, no more than 40 minutes has now turned into, like, some episodes are, like, like 6-hour, like, readings of the Odyssey. So we're gonna make it, like, a quick, dirty, sweet. But I'm excited because when you told me what you wanted to bring, I was like, that has not been brought up yet. And it's also a viral subject in one of my group chats. So do you want to
really?
It is. People are talking. So do you want to do the big reveal?
People are talking. I do. And you know what? This actually ties into my own mother and my connection to my mom. So it's real full circle.
I love that.
What I am bringing to the podcast table today is a clear window bird feeder.
Yes.
It is a bird feeder that suction cups onto a window. It's made of clear acrylic. You put some bird seed in the little bottom tray, and then you sit at your desk and you watch birds come to it instead of doing your work.
Wow. And it works? Like the birds actually come?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. So I actually have two of these, and I would put one on every window. The temptation is high for me. It is so soothing when the birds visit. So yes, sometimes I think like birds need to learn that there is food in the location, but they remember. So once they figure out it's there, they come back and they bring like their friends and their enemies. Mm. So I have one on the window of my bathroom. And just this morning, I like woke up and I walked in and there was a bird just nibbling. And I just was like, oh, hi. And then I have one on a window in my office space. So the birds kind of keep me company while I write. And I find it so comforting. I just like, and because it's on a window, you can see them really clearly.
Yeah, they're like, so they're like right there.
They're right there. Like if you have a cat or a dog who wants to murder birds, this is a great like tool of like torment for them because yes, my cat used to love this thing. My cat RIP is now dead, but you can hear like Lottie is like, get me that fucking bird feeder.
So my cats love to murder. And we have like kind of this like window, this suction on the inside of our house, this like two sort of platform cedar thing, and they sit and look out the window. And I've never, and so Dan is like kind of a bird feeder guy, and I was telling you yesterday when you said you wanted to bring this, I was like, I think he just made one. I like heard him hammering out in the backyard, and then he like came in and was like, worst bird feeder ever. So I mean, this is if this is something I can just buy, it'll save us a lot of trouble, but I would love to put one right in front of where they sit.
Yes. Oh, they would love it. Now I don't know if the birds will still come. I don't feel like the birds really have much of a sense that I'm there unless I'm like in their face.
Sure. But what about the squirrels?
Okay. So you have to be strategic with your placement because the squirrels know. The squirrels, like I had a squirrel climbing on my window trying to get to this bird feeder, and like they're too smart. They just know. So yes, like you do need to kind of be smart about the placement, but I have found like they're so low maintenance. You don't have to, surprisingly, you don't have to refill them a lot, especially because it's like one bird at a time and then another one will come and it'll like fight for its placement.
Yep.
But they're just like an easy way to have a little animal company, and which I really like. And the reason I mentioned my mom is that my mom was obsessed with birds. Like, to the point where like I felt after she died, I was like, I've got to get bird seed and like feed the birds.
Wow.
Because that's what she would have wanted. Like she just loved the birds outside her house. She fed them obsessively. She just was like a bird lady before it was like a bit on Portlandia and like a, you know, like a millennial joke.
Yeah.
So I do feel like it's kind of just a nice connection to my mom also. So that's kind of how I like, you know, remember my mom's been dead for like 14 years, so it's been a while. So for me, like I can just have some birds come and feel like a sweet little memory of my mom, and then I talk to the birds.
That's nice.
Well, you know, we've been home alone for so long that like I am at the point where I'm talking to birds in the bird feeder on my window.
No, I get it. Right? I think like, we all get that for sure.
Okay. That's, I'm not the only one.
No, no. I talk to my animals like they're people. I mean, I talk to like anything to not be alone with my thoughts, really. Do you think that your mom comes to you in the form of birds? Is that like a sign for you, or do you have other things?
So here's my general feeling about this, which I do write about in my book, and which Dory and I have actually talked about on Forever 35, because Dory had a hummingbird that was like nesting right outside her house, and she was talking about it. And I mentioned like a lot of people kind of attribute hummingbirds as like their dead people, right? Like when a hummingbird visits, I think a lot of people feel like it's their loved ones visiting. So I was like kind of cracking a joke that this was my mom, you know, LOL. And then the hummingbird flew into her house. So I was like, oh, that's my mom really trying to get to know my podcasting
partner. Oh my gosh.
So it was very, you know, it was very sweet. But I don't know. I like the idea of imagining my mom coming to me as a bird. Do I necessarily think it's true? I don't know. But I feel like whatever gives you comfort
right.
in your grief feels good. So kind of like whenever I see a sweet bird, not like a seagull.
Yeah, only the
like
good
a tiny
birds.
Bird.
Only the good
yeah,
birds.
Only like hot birds, not, you know.
Right. Right. No pigeons, no seagulls.
Yeah. No seagulls, not a pelican. No, certainly not like a big walking dinosaur bird.
Right,
but
right, right. Just like yeah, a little robin, I mean, a little blue jay.
Exactly.
That's nice.
Exactly. So it is nice. And again, I kind of do feel like with that stuff, it's like whatever makes you feel good, mm-hmm. great. Like whatever brings you a little bit of comfort is good.
Yeah. I totally believe in that stuff. And I also like every time the housewives have really made like a bit about like all of them all go to see mediums all the time. And they and like I all like part of me is like, whoa. And then part of me is like, these people are famous and they're like easily Googleable, like all this information. But some part of me is like, I want to like, you know, I want to know if my grandparents have been doing anything like weird to try to get my attention.
Yeah, right.
Well, we talked about like signs. Did I ever tell you the story or did you see on Instagram when I talked about how my aunt who was killed at Sandy Hook? She was a special education teacher. She also wasn't my aunt, but I call her my aunt. It's a lot easier to do it that way. But you know what I mean? Like yeah. very close family friend. She was named after my grandmother.
Yes.
Her daughter got married in August of 2015 or 2016, like a while ago. And they had an outdoor wedding in the backyard. There was no contingency plan. Like there was a tent, but like it was like if it rained, it was very casual. And you could tell she kind of like didn't care. She did it really for her dad. And I think she was like, whatever. But like it was like 102 degree days and degrees and rain was in the forecast the entire time. And if it rained, there was nowhere for these 150 people, most all of them family, to go. And it didn't rain. And everyone was like, oh, great, it didn't rain. And then when I pulled out of their driveway later to drive home, everything was soaked. Every single road. Like rain was like, you know, running water was running down the roads into drains. Like it had poured everywhere except for her house. And
okay, that's right? Wild.
So like yes. after that, I was like, okay, like, you know, we used to joke that the bunnies on Martha's Vineyard that we would see were my grandpa, but like yes. we didn't really have like a reason for that. But then this happened and I was like, okay, I think there's probably something here.
Yes, I do feel like there has to be a realm, like some sort of, or not, or maybe we just like die and that's the end and like we had a good run. Mm-hmm. But like what I want to believe, which gives me comfort, is that there is some sort of like spiritual space mm-hmm. where like the essence of humans go.
Mm-hmm.
And also that they can control the weather and
yeah,
birds.
Like, and they can kind of fuck with us a little, which I like kind of like.
Like I like it too. It's like comforting.
Yeah, it's fun. I actually have a good, before we get back to the bird fear, I have a good book recommendation for that sort of sentiment, which it's called Elsewhere. It's by Gabrielle Zevin. It's a YA book that came out in like the early 2000s. And someone gave it to me and I hadn't lost anybody I loved at that point. I loved the book, but I hadn't lost anyone. And then when my grandparents died, I reread it and it's basically this story. It's a very easy read, but it's a story about a teenage girl who dies, like, you know, page one, and what happens to her after she dies. And it turns out she wakes up on a boat to this world called Elsewhere, where everyone, every animal, every person who's died is. And it's just in a total alternative kind of alternate universe where it's like, there's like a whole system in place, but it's not religious. There's no, but it's like very, I found it so comforting. And that's kind of where I imagine everybody now. And I read it like, I reread it like every time I lose somebody or every time I miss somebody. And it's such a good book. And I'm not very religious. So it's hard for me to really put a ton of faith in the idea of like heaven or hell. But I love mm-hmm. the idea of like, oh, there's this world and like, you know, the premise of it is that you you show up in elsewhere at the age that you were when you passed, and you get a job. You get to do like something that you were really good at, but that maybe wasn't necessarily your career, like in your life. And you live like you like live and you age backwards. So you keep getting younger and younger. And then when you're a baby, they like put you in the water and you go off to get another, you know, life in reality. And it was very comforting. I feel like you would like it.
I love that.
It was okay, it's nice. And one of the parts that always stuck with me was that when you're in elsewhere, you can go to this place called the observation deck and you can like check in on your loved ones. But then it kind of turns out that they end up having like so much fun and they're so busy and elsewhere that they just go to the observation deck like less. And like in the beginning, they're like, oh, we miss all these people so much. And then it's like, OK, you know, we know they're good and I'm good. And it's like it's kind of nice. I think you would really like it, Kate.
I also think that's kind of what happens too. Like, I mean, it sounds like what the book is trying to say is like at first grief is really intense and then you're able to kind of begin existing again. And like you, not that you don't like think about your person all the time, but like you're able to kind of get back to, you don't need to go to that observation. I know it's the people in elsewhere going to the observation deck.
Yeah, but no, but it's the
you know
same.
What I'm saying, right?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Same with people.
Yeah, it's nice. It's just nice to think that like, I don't know, she goes to live with her grandma who she's never met. And then at first she's like, I don't know you and I don't want to live with you. But like her grandma is like 37 at the time that that like Liz gets there. And so she's like, because she's aging backwards. I don't know. It's like, I just love it. It's so cute. And it's just nice if you're not a religious person, but you kind of think that there's like, there has to be something else. I think this is a great book for you to sort of explore that imagination. You definitely should read it. I really can't wait to hear what you think.
Okay, done. I will get on it.
Well, we were going to talk about birds, and now we're just talking about death and grief. But,
I mean,
you know,
aren't birds like birds just carry that for us?
I know.
Like, I bet many people think birds are the dead people.
Totally.
So,
and butterflies and all that.
Yeah.
So
lizards,
tell me,
maybe?
Lizards, depending on where you are in the world, you know what I mean? Like,
I know.
You know, whatever you're.
Lizards are also terrifying.
Right? But maybe it was, you know, a sworn enemy coming back. are you like a bird? So I have to say, Dan is someone who will like hear the call of a bird and like his ears will like tick up and then like name a bird that I've never heard of. Like, do you know what you're looking at when you look at a bird? Or are you just like lover of all cute birds? Don't really need to know a lot of details.
I have no idea. I think it's really interesting when people get very into bird watching, but I don't know what I'm looking at. I could not tell you. To me, it's like, oh, it's a red bird. It's a yellow bird. It's a blue bird.
Right.
That's it. That's where I'm at.
That's where I'm at too. And I think that's fine. You know,
well, good, because that's what I'm
but
up
I mean
to.
Like some people are like, oh, like, you know, don't you want to get a book? And like there's this app where you can like take a picture and it'll tell you what you're looking. I'm like, I don't actually care that much. I'm just enjoying the view.
That's kind of what's great about this bird feeder, to be honest. And I do think with birds, like if you put a specific feed into the feeder, you're going to attract different kinds of birds.
Yes.
But like, I'm sure a person who is a bird expert would enjoy like summoning them to the clear bird feeder. But for me, it's like, I just like looking at them. I just enjoy when like they're visiting and I see them kind of like poking their head around and then another one flies over and the one in the feeder gets mad. Like,
yeah.
I just find all that kind of charming.
It is. And also, it's exactly the way I personally want to experience nature, which is behind glass. You know, I.
Oh, okay. No, wait a second. We could explore this for hours.
I mean, it's just true. I mean, like.
Wait a second.
I don't do well in nature. I don't know. Like, camping seems fun in theory to me.
Okay. Okay. But not like you don't have any interest in having like a more intimate.
You know, actually, I don't know if that's true. I think the thing is that there are so many variables I can't control about nature that make me, like, if it's too hot, I'm miserable. If it's too cold, actually, I would probably be okay with, like, too cold. I think if I could find the perfect climate, I feel like I would do better in nature. But the second it's over, like, 75 degrees, I'm complaining nonstop. So I can't really be outside at like the heat of the day. And I know that about myself. I don't put myself in situations where, you know, I'm just complaining. I try not to anyway. But like some people, I don't know. Like I turn on the air conditioning the second I get like the slightest bit of uncomfortable. Maybe I should be, you know, like going to the Arctic Circle then. Like maybe that's the answer, is that I like nature, but only like in, you know, a polar vortex.
That's freezing.
Yeah. I mean, do you like love being outside? Like, do you love the heat? Like what, like nothing, none of this bothers you? You'd love it?
I would rather be hot than cold.
Oh, okay. All right.
I am that kind of person. I don't, the cold, I find, I hate it.
Wow.
Like I could never live. And all I ever did my whole life was live in cold places until mm-hmm. I moved to California. Mm-hmm. I'm from Boston. I went to college in Maine. Then I moved to New York City.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, is someone tapping it? Hello? Oh, sorry. I'm in my closet recording. And every now and then, like a child comes in,
totally.
Even though they know I go in here to work. And then they're like, are you working?
Right.
Yes,
are you busy?
Yeah. I'm talking to a person and we're recording it. It's please stop. Anyway, I feel very passionately about the fact that like I would rather be, I mean, not like climate change heat, but I do right. like warm climates. But I am very like terrified of the fact that our temperatures are increasing. Like I don't like that part of it.
Yes. Yeah, of course. No, of course. I mean, no one's saying like, oh, you love global warming. I just like I just get so I run hot. So like the second it's hot out, I'm just like at a level of discomfort that I cannot. Like some people love like stepping out into like humidity and they're like, oh, I love this. And I'm like, I
do like that feeling.
Oh my God. I would just sooner just, I don't know, die, strike
but
me
then
dead.
Do you like the feeling of when you walk outside and like all of a sudden your nostril hairs are frozen, like that kind of cold?
I can handle it. Yeah. I would much rather be freezing. Then I have a much higher tolerance for being cold. I also think with being cold is like you can always make yourself warmer. But when you're hot, there's so little you can do.
You just have to kind of like lay in it.
Yeah, no, and
it.
That's what all of you people say. You're like, no, you just have to like really enjoy it. And I'm like, I'm telling you, I don't enjoy it. Like there's nothing so, like, enjoyable about it.
Do you like a jacuzzi or a hot tub?
Yes, of course.
Like
I mean, like I'm the
oh, but you have
I'm
hot
the original
tub. Yeah,
inflatable hot tub. No, water is fine. Like water okay, at okay. any temperature is fine. Also being hot and then having access to like a pool, also fine. I think I've been ruined by 10 New York summers where you walk outside and it's like, oh, like the smell of piss and like,
yes.
Oh, by the time
yes.
you get to work, your hair is frizzy and like your back sweat is like running down your butt. Like that's the kind of thing that I don't want to deal with anymore. California, the lack of humidity is a definite plus. If sitting in my air conditioned office, just looking at the birds on the other side of the window, I feel like I could really fuck with that. Like that.
You know what? Yes. Great. I support this. I do feel like it's a great way to get nature if like you live in a city. I don't know what you'll attract because I live in a suburb of Los Angeles. I'm not in a kind of like a more downtown area.
Yep.
So I don't know how this would work in like the heart of Times Square.
Right.
But again, and also like I'll take a pigeon. I didn't want to apologize to the pigeon community. I like
they all
I
listen
like any
to
birds.
The show. So,
but
I mean, but the thing is like when people, I think the people I know who have got, I think you and I are lucky now in LA where like you can put a bird feeder on the window and they will come to you. Whereas all of my like weird birding friends are, you know, going to Greenwood Cemetery and Central Park because there's actually a lot of there's a lot to see there. But they will not come. Yeah, like there's so little you can do, I think, in your like New York apartment versus, you know, having a little bit more of a suburban house where nature is really all around you. Yeah, I don't know that the birds will like come to like I don't know what you like if you live in Times Square and you put a bird feeder out with like bird seed in it. I don't know what you're going to attract. Like
yes,
it probably won't
either.
Be
like,
birds.
Maybe a rat.
yeah, exactly. Like 100% like a rat. So
although I will say here in Los Angeles, we have rats galore because of fruit trees. We have what's called roof rats. Like in my old house they would just scurry all over the roof and jump into our avocado tree. So like you know, people in LA love to talk about the rats in New York City, but it's like we have a very intense rat population here that are just like indulging on pomegranates.
I didn't know. I don't know that I knew that, but I've heard scurrying on my roof a lot. And I'm wondering if that's
rats.
Great. Okay, making a note.
I'm so sorry to tell you.
No, you're right. We have two big fig trees in the backyard, so that's definitely happening. That's gross.
I think also raccoons love figs. Oh. I have a fig tree, and I think there's a lot of wildlife here in LA. Mm-hmm. There's always a coyote trotting down the road.
We have raccoons. We see coyotes all the time. I always think they're like stray dogs until I get like a little closer and I'm like, not a dog. I'm like, we should take it home. It's like a coyote. We definitely
have done that with raccoons.
You want to take raccoons home?
No, I thought it was a dog. I pulled into my driveway and it was dark and I was like, oh, I see little eyes. And I was like, you know, and then I realized it was a fucking raccoon.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, yeah. We have raccoons living under our house, and Dan has named them all. So I'm like, is there anyone we can call to get rid of them? He's like, why would you want to get rid of them? They're our friends. I'm like, they are not our friends.
Dan, I feel like Dan and I are very in sync about the animal world, that they're just like little buddies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Friends. Dan calls every animal his friend, and I'm like, you know, calling like 911, being like, please, there's a raccoon. There's a raccoon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What is your group text about bird feeders?
Well, I'm in a group text. I'm in a bunch of different group texts, and some of them have a lot of people overlap. But there's one that is Dan and myself, my friend Rachel and her girlfriend, and my friend Casey and her boyfriend Seamus, and the six of
us. Casey Swole Woman?
Yes, Casey Swole Woman.
Oh, I love following her. I learned about her from your podcast.
She's great. I literally put a TikTok in there the other day of a woman doing a hip thrust with 400 pounds. And I said, this is Casey. And she said, that's not even that hard. And then I was like, stop talking, because how could that not be hard? But yeah, we were all talking about Deanna, I think, was taking a picture of the bird feeder that he made. And then everyone was talking about the bird feeders. And similarly, like, they're all in Brooklyn and haven't had tons of luck with their bird feeding situations, but we talked about it for a while, of like what would make a good bird feeder, what's the good bird feed. I wasn't really contributing to the conversation, but it was going on a lot around me. But these are all people who, like, you know, have the books identifying the birds. We had binoculars. There's some app where, like, you could, like, it's like Shazam for birds, where you like you like press when they're doing like a call and it'll tell you who it is. But yeah, it was going nuts in the group chat. I'm excited to share this with them. It was like inspiration, fate.
I hope you get one, because I do feel like you will attract cool birds to your window, and it's just like such a soothing self-carry feeling to just get to sit and watch a bird for a little bit and then have it fly away. And there's like no stakes, right? Like, you don't have to look up what kind of bird it is. Right. But you can if you
right.
want. But.
And if Dan starts talking to me about the species of bird, I don't have to listen. You know, I'll just tune him out.
No, tune him out.
Do you know how much it costs, Kate? I know we have a hard out and I want to let you go, but I just want to let everyone know how much they can expect to spend. Like,
I do so.
More than $20? Less than $20?
Yeah, it's more than $20. But right now, so this is an Amazon purchase that I made.
Okay.
It is $28.95 on Amazon.
Nice.
Prime, free one day and free returns if you just want to, like, be birding by tomorrow morning.
Sure.
And, you know, there's a million of these. Like, you don't need this specific one or this specific brand. This is like a
type.
A universal kind of bird feeder that every company makes.
You're looking for something with kind of like, you know, little shelves for the food and that can suction to your window.
Yes, it has a little, almost like a drawer, and you can just put the food in, put the little, like, pop it back and then watch the birds arrive.
Okay, very cool. Before we head out, I'm reminded that there is someone on Etsy, and I will link to it, that makes little Adirondack chairs for squirrels. And
Shut up, Caroline.
And they can, and you put them, I will follow up and I'll do, you know, but and I'll send you a link. But you, it reminded me that you can do a bird feeder, and then there you can make like platforms for other woodland animals. And there are Adirondack chairs for squirrels, and then you can put snacks by the Adirondack chairs. And my friend has one and like has taken many a picture of squirrels just sitting in an Adirondack chair, like
okay,
eating.
I gotta
link you to it. It's like perfectly
ASAP.
You. Perfectly.
Oh my
you.
God.
Well, Kate Spencer, I'm gonna send you a link on your phone so you can open it while we're chatting. This
oh
one's
God,
a picnic
so
table. You need to, this is so you. I mean, truly like
a picnic table.
You nail it into the trees, and then there's like little, you like put, oh my God, I'm dying. Can you open it? Can you see it?
Hold on, here it is. Okay, the link has arrived. Oh my God, this is amazing.
It is literally
this
like
is amazing.
A little picnic table. You nail Swifty. It into the tree. There's a little umbrella, and there's like little like you kind of screw in this little like bowl thing, and in the bowl you'll put a little bit of squirrel food, and then what ends up happening is the squirrel's just like sitting there eating like it's at a little picnic table. I mean,
okay,
I love like the, what's the word, anthropomorphizing of, and you know, to humanize, personify whatever animal, like this is extremely my shit.
This is I love this, and I feel like my kids would, they're always leaving peanuts out for squirrels. Yeah. So I feel like I need to just get this.
There are so many different options, like I'm scrolling down and there's one where you can like put a corn cob in, which looks kind of funny. Like it's so like, this is the kind of stuff that like when I even get the least bit stoned, I'm like looking for,
oh,
on Amazon
it.
Being like chairs for squirrels, and being like
chairs for squirrels,
like, and they're, and like they always exist. I'm sure there's a small business on Etsy doing like, you know, custom ones or whatever, but they're, it's so cute, it's really funny.
Well, also I do feel like it's important just to embrace squirrels because they are not going anywhere. Like, we don't even, like, with rats, like, my husband and I always were talking about how to get rid of the rats in our yard. But, like, with squirrels, we've just, like, made peace with the fact that we coexist with squirrels.
Yes.
Like, they're just, so, like, why not set up an area in your yard where squirrels can, like, party,
right,
and it's adorable. You can TikTok it.
Yeah, exactly.
Go viral.
Right. Monetize the squirrels in your yard.
Here
you
we
know?
Go. That's what I'm talking like, about. It's always a side hustle.
Yeah, get some money. They're not paying you rent for being up in your property all the time. So, you
can
know.
Can I ask you a question about squirrels that I think about a lot?
Sure.
And I am not stoned, but this is like a stoned thought.
Excellent.
How come like, do you know what squirrel poop looks like? Like, how come I never see squirrel poop? Like, where is it?
I actually think I do know what it looks like. So sometimes when I go out to the hot tub, I always leave the cover on it so it, like, keeps it hot. And sometimes there's, like, poop on top, and I'm pretty sure it's squirrel. It's like, because it just, like, yeah, it's little, like, yes, it is squirrel poop because I'm looking at it. I just Googled squirrel poop.
I guess I could have done that.
It looks like pebbles, I think. It's like little black, hard, like, you know, hard to describe, but like very kind of innocuous little, like.
Okay, I see it.
Yeah.
Cute little poops.
Cute little poops.
Oh, they're cute. You know what? They're cute. I would actually think this is like a crumb. I wouldn't think this was poop.
That,
I'd probably pick
so
it
you
up.
Definitely have own. Seen it before. You know what I mean? You're like, how come the squirrels haven't been pooping? That's like, for sure they have been. But they're pretty inoffensive, I think.
Yeah, that's not that bad. Okay, all right. I can accept that this is part of our world.
Oh, yeah. Well, you are also like an East Coaster, and so am I. And I went to school in Massachusetts where at UMass where there were squirrels everywhere. But have you ever met someone who did not grow up in a place where squirrels were everywhere? Because it is very funny.
I haven't. Is
oh.
that a thing?
Oh,
aren't
yeah.
squirrels just everywhere?
No, not everywhere. I mean, think about if you went to like Costa Rica and like monkeys were swinging from trees. Like, you would think that was crazy. You'd take like a million pictures, and then people who live in Costa Rica would be like, who's this weirdo? Like, this, we see this every day. It's kind of
yes.
the same thing with squirrels. Like, there was a person I went to college with. I think she might have been an international student, but she also might have just not lived in a place with a lot of squirrels. And like, squirrels were everywhere at UMass and like people would name them. It was like this whole thing. But it was so funny watching people, like the way that I would be in Costa Rica, like taking selfies with monkeys, like trying to like chase squirrels and take pictures of them with their like flip phone camera phone. Like, what are you doing? Like, this is not that interesting. But it's like a real, it's a real hot commodity. If you've never really grown up seeing squirrels everywhere, like, think about it. They're like these little like animals with huge tails just all up in your shit, and they're not scared of anything. That's crazy.
Are you a person who would like keep a squirrel as a, I think I'm going to know the answer to this, but you like, I feel like everyone has known one person at least who's had a pet squirrel, like a baby squirrel.
Yeah.
That they like, my aunt and uncle and cousins had a pet squirrel.
Sure.
And like, did you know, they, it's a like, baby that you rescue.
It? Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. And then I think it like goes and lives in the wild.
Sure.
But like, does that's like a trait of a certain kind of person to have a pet squirrel?
It's definitely, so as an adult, no. I think if you had asked me in college, like, I definitely went through a phase where I was like, maybe you should get a ferret. Like, just like a weird,
oh,
like,
yes.
You know what I
yes,
mean? Like,
yes, yes.
Everyone had ferrets or chinchillas. It was like you wanted a dog, but you knew you couldn't have a dog in the dorms. Like, what other, like, living thing could you have and that would sort of, like, you know, create, like, quench your thirst for the dog? And I did have a lot of friends who, like, definitely went to the pet store, like, got a bunch of gerbils or guinea pigs or whatever. But I never got that far. But like, really,
I had a hamster.
You did?
I had a hamster,
yeah.
Sophomore year of college.
Totally,
yeah,
a thing.
Disgusting.
It's gross, right? Like, it's novel for like 5 minutes and then you're like,
Well, and they're nocturnal. So like, you go to bed and the hamster's just like working hard in its wheel.
Yep.
And you're like, why did I do this? Carolyn, I don't know if I told you this, but I did this very recently with goldfish.
Oh no.
And it ended disastrously.
Wait, what happened?
So I have had it in my fixated in my head that I was going to get a fountain for this like one spot in my little like front walkway area.
Okay.
I want a fountain. It has a little electrical outlet. Like, I can do this. And then while I was perusing fountains on Wayfair.com, I came across one that was like a miniature like hydroponic pond. And in the description, it's like, you can even put some small fish in your fountain. And this is like my, like, any excuse to acquire animals.
Right.
I'm into, like, I want to rescue everything. So I was like, great, I'm going to get this fountain. We can have fish in it. It's going to look so cool. It'll be like a miniature, it's like 24 inches circumference.
Right.
So I got the fountain. I put the whole thing together. I got plants that can grow, you know, like grow in water. I went to the fish store. I bought all the stuff. I did the water. I put my fish in. Like, no less than at least a week later, they just kind of started disappearing. And what had happened was the like filter that brought the water up to the little waterfall fountain thing, like the fish would get stuck in it and get like churned up.
No.
It was just, yes, oh, it was disgusting. And then, oh, I found out, like, they did not mention this on the Wayfair website, but on the Amazon website, many people have reviewed this product and been like, it killed my fish. like so many people. So I actually had a very pleasant customer service experience with Wayfair where they refund. I was like, hey, like, you advertise that I can put fish in this. Well, I have like 3 dead fish that I'm dealing with right now. My, you know, like, it was just, it was gross. My kids had gotten like very into feeding the fish every day.
Oh,
and then like, I had
horrible.
To be like, oh, sorry, they Harriet and Daffodil died.
They shouldn't sell it anymore.
Well, I mean, you just can't say, it's a beautiful little fountain, but just
right.
don't.
Just, yeah, say do not fish put fish in there. They will get churned. That
yeah,
is so yeah. terrifying.
It was pretty gross. That's it was pretty gross. And I felt really bad.
Of
I didn't,
course.
You know, I felt bad for the little goldfish.
That is so sad. Aww.
It was dumb. But it's like that thing that like, oh, I can put an animal in this. Like, yes,
yeah.
I love having an animal. Like, I don't need goldfish.
No, I know.
Anyway.
I know.
My lesson learned.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for coming. This has been
a treat and a half.
Yeah, this was such a joy. I'm like really, really happy. I will link to everything that we talked about in the show notes, from your book to elsewhere, which I recommended, to all of the bird feeder availability on Amazon.
So many bird feeders.
To the squirrel seats. We really like ran the gamut. And I'm telling you guys, the story about the 16-year-old goldfish is true. That is not just like, oh, I heard from a friend of a friend. I personally knew that 16-year-old goldfish, and she lived an amazing life. Kate, I'm pumped that we did this. You guys, thank you for listening, and we will see you next week for another episode of Do You Think She Spotted?